New Year.
3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, 1 partridge in a pear tree, and a ghost. Hey, everybody, welcome to 321 Ghost. Or 321 Holy Ghost, maybe.
Ooh, I like that.
Both are good. Hey, everybody, Merry Christmas. Welcome to 321 Ghost. I am your ghost host of Christmas. Present, because he was my favorite one in the Muppets Christmas Carol. And I kind of look like him too, with the red beard. And as I'm Kyle,
I
by the
wasn't gonna
way.
say it.
Thank you. And as always, I'm joined by my pal, the ghost of Christmas taglines, Natalie. Hey, Natalie. Merry Christmas. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, and Merry Christmas to you as well. We've made it.
I'm like looking through these lyrics for the 12 Days of Christmas just so I could do that right. The first like 6 days, it's like nothing but birds.
Yeah, it's become a thing, like on the internet, of
Oh,
just
really?
so many. Yeah, there's so many videos of like, imagine the person who's receiving like all of these birds,
That's
like how
funny.
pissed you would be.
Yeah, but I mean, you do at least one of them. You do get the pear tree as well out of it, but I don't know if partridges eat pears.
If you can get past the first 4 days, you get a little treat.
Well, you get the rings, and then you're
Yeah.
like, you know, do you do a 6 day like deal or no deal style? And you're like, all right, no deal. I go for the 6th day, and it's like, ah, fuck, it's birds again. God damn it. All right.
Yeah.
I'm already in too deep. One more, hit me. One more. 7th day, let's go. It's still fucking swans. It's more goddamn birds. But I don't know. At least on the 8th day, you get some honeys. Get the
Yeah.
maids a milking.
Yeah. Who wrote that song? What the fuck were they thinking?
Some unhinged fucking lunatic. God
Yes.
damn. Someone's just sitting there just being like, man, here are the things I want for Christmas. And then not only, yeah, someone would just look at that list and be like, the fuck? You want
Just
what?
writing the song in their aviary.
But hey, everybody, welcome to 321 Ghost. Obviously, it's not like actually Christmas unless you waited a few days to listen to it. And well, there you go. Hopefully you're having a peaceful, lovely situation.
Shout out to you if you're listening to us on Christmas.
There you go. Hey, you know, podcasts, I think, are great for people who need a break from some more stressful family members, right?
For sure.
Yeah. Or people that just like, hey, maybe don't have, you know, a whole lot of people around, or people that just don't celebrate, that are just going on with their day, that are just kind of fucking pissed, that are like, ugh. Like, I just think of the people that don't celebrate Christmas, that are like, dude, now
I can't
because of
do
fucking,
anything today.
yeah, because of fucking you all, I like can't. This is just Tuesday for me. Like, I
That's what the
can't.
movies is for.
Yeah, in Chinese restaurants. Yeah. So yeah, but well, I've had to work a lot of Christmases at the movie
I
theater.
know.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Maybe. Because it was a nice way to kind of get away too, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Do my own thing. Drink in the parking lot, usually
Yeah.
like 2 in the morning afterwards. But hey, everybody. We're talking about another Christmas movie this month. Very exciting. This is always feels like the obvious one to do. So
Yeah.
we tried to push it off a little bit. But everybody, we're talking about 1974's classic holiday slasher, Black Christmas.
Yeah. Hopefully you watched the right one.
I've only seen the other two once each. I remember going to some theater to watch the 2006 one, and despite having as good of a cast of young women as you could possibly have at that time, just was not very good. I think
It's
there was
rough.
it's a little gorier though.
Yeah. I've seen that one the most, probably at
That's
least
wild.
5 times. Yeah.
That's 4 times too many.
But because I love the cast, so
Yeah.
I'll just throw it on to have them in the background.
And then there's the 2019 one, which like I remember not liking, but I couldn't tell you why because I can't remember any of it. I do remember Cary Elwes is in it, right?
I the only thing that I remember about that movie, and I could be totally wrong, but this is what stuck with me. I remember nothing about the plot. I remember a little bit about the cast, but I mostly remember them like really trying to change the dynamic between the girls, like from the previous movies. Like they're like they have more solidarity like with each other, and that always just I don't need that. Like I think that this movie actually has a really great feminist agenda, and I love it. I don't think that the newer one does that in a fun way at all. But that may be my hot take. Maybe we'll get there one day.
Well, this movie has been lauded, I think, for it some of its more feminist aspects. I'd say some. I'd say also there's some aspects that are not. I'm looking at you, Barb. A couple of things
I
that she
love
said,
Barb. I love Barb.
real out of pocket.
He's wild. I was like, when was this movie from? Shit, Barb.
But yeah, I don't remember much of that new one. I don't know. Maybe I'll try it again. It seems like you're in the majority though. It feels like a lot of people were not impressed by it.
It felt very like forced girl power. Does that make sense? Like where they were like trying to like really like go for that theme, and it wasn't hitting right for me at least.
This one, I don't know. Like I feel like when it originally came out, allegedly, people were pretty mixed, pretty shitty on it, being like, ah, it's just some trash, pretty crass, just, slasher. Before like slashers were like really like a its own kind of subgenre yet. Obviously, 1A and 1B, they kind of draw the line. It's easy to draw the line between this and Halloween. Obviously, with the POV shots, I guess when you watch this, you never see the killer ever.
No.
Yeah. And also, I'm like,
Just an eye.
you think his name's Billy. It very well could not be.
Yeah, we don't know.
Is that effective for you? And would you call that a slasher? Or do you feel like you need like a Freddy, Michael, Jason, Leatherface, Chucky situation for it to be like a slasher? Does it work without seeing the slasher?
I was thinking about that as I was watching it because I think by the time I was like in the third act, because I'd only seen this movie once before watching it for this episode, I remembered, okay, there is no actual killer reveal here, which feels not slasher-esque that you don't get like, it doesn't even have to be a killer that gives you a motive or whatever, because you have like Michael Myers and Jason, where like their stories are just kind of written for them and you don't ever hear them tell their own story. But this movie is old enough that it's like before slasher tropes really existed. And in that way, it doesn't bother me that I don't see the killer, but I don't know. I always say I don't want to learn too much about the killer, but we know nothing about this killer or motive or anything like that. And I think the 2006 remake tries to correct that to a fault. So this one, it feels like they just kind of leave it mysterious. I don't know how I feel about that. How about you?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, ultimately, I think it's effective. I don't know. It's hard for me because I've seen all the things that have come from this, I think before this movie. So I don't know. Maybe with a more fresher perspective, I don't know. But I mean, I think ultimately it's effective, I can see where like some of the tropes are born. And of course, I'm sorry, I'm not a historian, so don't, fucking quote me. And of course, we haven't seen the research team in Jesus, months,
On holiday
years,
forever.
maybe. But
Maybe they're in the attic dead somewhere.
I see where this would get lumped in with, women being like sexualized and then brutalized by, a male, slasher, serial killer, whatever. But like, it's I don't think that any of these characters are sexualized in this movie,
No.
but I mean, they seem to talk about sex pretty frankly when they do, and then if any of them do, and just generally like Barb, but and everyone's like, oh, Barb. But on the other hand, you do have this guy fucking calling and saying like, oh, I'm gonna fuck him, you know. I don't even re repeat it, Natalie, because it's so nasty and mean.
I will if we get there, but okay, something that I do like and I think is effectively scary with this movie, and I don't know if this was intentional, but when you start getting towards, you know, maybe like the second act of the movie, you have the lieutenant who is starting to think that he's like, this could be the boyfriend. Like, Peter's definitely a suspect, right? And I think what's interesting about that is like, okay, you're getting obscene phone calls, someone's attacking people in your house, and it could either be your boyfriend, which is very likely. A lot of, you know, spouses and boyfriends kill their partners, or it could be some random guy that you don't know. And as a woman, those are your two like most likely threats, is the person that you trust the most or someone that you have no idea who they are. And I think that's kind of a fun way to play with this, and you really don't find out who this killer is, but that's an interesting aspect to it because poor Jess has to go back and forth between like, is this some random person I don't know and I don't know where it's coming from, or is this somebody that I know really well? And I mean, that's a common fear for women. So I don't know if that was an intentional, you know, plot to it or not, but I like that the lieutenant is open to like, okay, this could be someone who's very close to them and not just some random stranger calling.
I remember reading in like maybe the trivia, I think it was referring more to the abortion subplot, but like any of the more like specifically like female perspective or, you know, feminist, you know, readings into this were all purely incidental and not, you know, but
Love that.
but at the same time, I kind of want to think like, I wonder if they're just fucking, well, still kind of reading the room of, you know, they want to sell this movie. I wonder if they're just like, look, we're just gonna fucking just play dumb. I don't know.
Yeah, because it for a film in 1974, the way that the girls are like, the way that the girls interact with each other, the way they interact with men, like, you know, Jess even having goals that are completely outside of like, no, like I don't want to have a baby, I don't want to marry you, like I've got shit that I want to do, that I need to do. Like, that's very like bold to put in a movie. I mean, these all are all girls in college, but you know, their sorority feels very like tame and focused and disciplined. Like, they've got dreams and aspirations.
And this is, you know, a year after Roe v. Wade, too. So I think probably just I would think very refreshing to see a woman in this movie being like, no, I made my decision. I made my decision before I even talked to you, and I'm just letting you know my decision.
She even said
And
she wasn't going to say anything. She's like, I wasn't even going to tell you. Like, I'm doing you a service.
yeah, so. I know, like watching that scene, and my wife just kind of poking her head in every now and then. She like heard that part, you know, and she was just like, "Hell yeah, good for her." But yeah, Jesus, Peter. But we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get to Peter.
Yeah. So let me think. I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about before we hop in?
No, let's get into it.
Let's do it. So. We've got our main cast of characters. We've got Jess. We've got Barb, who is, well, one, we've got Jess played by Olivia Hussey, who most high schoolers probably know from Romeo and Juliet whenever they screened that.
First time you saw a pair of boobs at school.
I just turn over and I'm like, whoa, hey, can you do that? Did we rent the wrong one? Can we do this? So, Also, low key, some horror. She was in the It TV series, the original miniseries, and also in Psycho 4.
No, whoa.
Yeah, good for her.
Did not remember that.
Yeah. And you've got Barb, who's played by Margot Kidder. My Lois Lane. I definitely had a huge crush on Margot Kidder and her Lois Lane, like as a kid.
I love that.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a common one for young boys, but just because she's like very just kind of like kind of fuck you, kind of mean. She's like definitely has some Gale Weathers,
Yeah,
or you can
which is
see,
good.
yeah, you have the overlap between those two. Right. You've got Phil, who I love. She's very nice too.
I love this actress too. She's actually been, she's in the Black Christmas remake
Oh, really?
also. And then I couldn't figure out where I recognized her from, and then I went into her IMDb, and it's from the My Big Fat Greek Wedding movies because my mom loves those movies, so I've seen them, and I was like, "What is she like so familiar from?" And she's in those.
How many
So
are there? Two, three?
there's three. I didn't
Well,
know that until today, but I've seen the first two a couple times because my mom loves them.
there you go. They seem pretty harmless.
Yeah, they're fine.
So, and then you've got Claire. Those are the four main girls that live in this sorority house. I didn't catch the name of like what the school was. I don't know if they even say that,
I don't even
but
know if it matters.
right. So, it's Christmas. The school's going on break. We'll learn about some of their plans. And then we also get this creep POV shot from outside the house. And very quickly is able to climb up whatever you call that shit is. It's like kind of fencing on the side of the house where usually like
Yeah,
vines and shit
plants
grow.
and things.
Yeah,
It's
so
a beautiful house.
beautiful house, but at the same time, I'm like I'm not a paranoid person. It's like earlier before we hopped on, started recording, we were talking about just, our methods of, checking the house, or especially if we get a little spooked or whatever. I'm not necessarily a paranoid person, but I don't want anything that like makes my house like easily climbable. You know what I mean?
Or just so many rooms that are far away enough that you wouldn't be able to hear someone moving around in a room. Like he's full on having phone conversations, singing, rocking the chair. Like if I can't hear you from the other room, the house is too big. I don't need a house that is like there's secrets going on.
I'm surprised, like, so many like wealthy people also live in huge houses because I'm like, I think no matter how wealthy I was, I wouldn't want to because of that same thing. I don't know what it is. So maybe I am kind of paranoid. I'll walk that back. I get a little spooked, right? Like, I don't know. I like having just a good idea of like, I hear something upstairs, I can hear it. I hear something in my basement, I could probably hear it, but I don't know.
Like
I hear
someone
you.
would have to be very quiet and sneaky, but like Billy, or if that is his real name, is like living it up.
Yeah.
So, I mean that's pretty wild.
So they're having a party downstairs. Some of the boys are there for a little bit, but then they leave. Oh, by the way, sorry, Claire. Did I mention Claire? Is there a
Yes, you
f
did. Yeah,
Oh, okay,
you did.
good. All right. That's important. You're not
Yeah,
gonna, yeah.
because she
At least
didn't
for a little
last
while.
long.
But yeah, dude, they let fucking Billy fucking climb in through the fucking open window in this attic, then goes down the attic into the, upstairs hallway, and then just parks out in one of the rooms. We're not sure exactly which one yet. And then Jess gets a call. And then we find out that like this isn't the first time they've been getting calls. Because they go like, oh, it's the Moaner again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've gotten these calls quite a few times.
And I guess it started with some moaning, but now it's like graduated to, some grunting, squealing, slurping of the sorts. Like I said, I'm too much of a respectful person. I'm not gonna repeat what he says on the phone.
Because he uses the word cunt a lot, right?
I think that's my word. I just can't use it. I've repeated some of the shit she said during Serial Mom, but
Yeah. Pussy face.
yeah,
So
that
funny.
is okay.
That, well, I think it's because the okay, what I like about this caller is that they're like really just setting the stage for like this person is absolutely disgusting. Like the I think piggy cunt is it comes up quite a few times.
There's no like back and forth, like answering a scary movie questions situation. Like, there's no reasoning with
No.
this person.
No. And like at first I thought maybe like this was a person that was like just jerking off on the phone. But then I realize that's not the case because then we have like whole scenes, like family dramas playing out later on,
We
different characters, voices, like
don't know that he's also masturbating during every one of those calls.
I mean,
They just
could
don't show
be.
it.
He
Yeah.
could be for sure. I will say though, like and this is 1974. Like nothing has changed. These types of phone calls still happen. At people's private residences, at people's jobs. As someone who's been in retail for a long time in female spaces, a lot to like retail phone numbers. And if they're calling from an unknown number, they cops can do nothing. They don't have a room where they're tracing calls like in
That was a
1974.
very impressive room.
It's a really impressive room. But like these kind of calls happen. They are real. Like, this is not, this is nothing. Like, I have gotten some of the most obscene phone calls because as soon as I find out they're happening, I tell the girls, I'm like, I'll answer the phone. Like, I'll handle it. But yeah, like, it's fucking gross. It's so weird. And I think Barb does the absolute wrong thing in reacting and trying to like tell him off because apparently that is like the opposite of what you should do, says psychologists and psychiatrists. They're like, don't react, hang up, don't say anything, because they get off on reaction a lot of the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's especially with men, it's like it's a power thing, you know? It's so gross. But yeah, that was going to be my question because I was like, Jesus Christ. I was like, how? One, I'm like, they didn't even have Star 69 or some shit.
Yeah.
Like, I first of all, I was like, how bad could that have been back in the 70s? But then you were like, no. It's It is not going gone away. Dudes are
Literally
still.
3 months ago at my last job, like
I
this,
remember that
literally,
story.
like stuff like this happens all the time. I've heard men jerking off over the phone, like for real. It's so gross.
And I will tell you right now, I mean, okay, maybe without the data in front of me, but I'm going to say probably very low likelihood that women are calling to, male spaces and masturbating on the phone, grunting at them.
Yeah, I've never heard of that happening.
Now, I don't have the data, so all right, fine. I'm not gonna, be
Yeah.
married to it, but I've got a good hunch.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's wild. So yeah, when I like saw this and like, they're all like around the phone and like if you've never had that happen to you, like in a group setting, you would think that that's like crazy that they would all be doing that. Absolutely not. We all do that. Like it when they like call, because we're all like, what are they saying? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like you want to like know what's happening because you're like trying to be supportive, but also like trying to figure shit out. Yeah. So this scene like very much just it feels very real and like Barb reacting and being sassy and all of that. Like I've definitely done that myself. So. It's a very weird experience to navigate, and I think a lot of people find it very triggering, and a lot of people can find it very upsetting. I usually just get like eye rolls, and I'm just like, fucking men, like what fucking pieces of shit. But like trying to be protective of my group is always like I turn into like mother hen with it. Yeah, just wild. So these poor girls, I feel sorry for them. I'm sure it happens a lot to sorority houses too.
Right. I feel like they're like huge
Like a
targets.
target. Yeah, absolutely.
It's
A bunch of
awful.
young girls in a house? Who could resist?
Yeah. Yeah, so Claire says, hey, maybe like let's not provoke him. I don't know if
Yeah.
it's a good idea. Of course, And then Claire says, like, remember, hey, there was a woman that was attacked and raped in the fucking park 2 weeks ago, to which
Yeah.
Barb has
She
some
said she was a townie or like in town or something.
she's a townie, which yeah, it's not good. Stop it, Barb. Claire goes up to her room. She's like, whatever. And she goes to pack because she has plans to meet her dad on campus the next day and then go home for Christmas. Now, Mrs. Mack, who is the house mother, comes home
I love
and
her.
she's also great too. She's so much fun.
Yeah.
Probably the best performance in this movie.
Oh,
Easy.
100%. Yeah,
Yeah.
she's got the best energy and feels like an exaggeration of a real person.
Yeah. Whereas, like, I don't know if she's like drinking as much as Barb, but she plays like, and I think she plays like the kind of tipsy a little bit better.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to play drunk sometimes.
Yeah. Well, Barb is like playing like
Shit-faced.
shit-faced.
Yeah.
And I think that our house mother is more, she's consistently drinking from a bottle all the time. So she doesn't get like blackout drunk. She's just a little slurry.
Yeah. So, they're downstairs. Claire's upstairs. Billy's upstairs. Billy's in Claire's room. She gets attacked and she's killed. Now, I'm trying to, yeah, I guess you do see the cat. There's the cat, Claude.
Oh, I love
And
Claude.
multiple people die in this movie, thinking that they're trying to find Claude. And I
And
did
Claude
think
ends up being okay.
Claude ends up being okay. Claude gets a little taste of Claire's corpse.
This is, really weird, but if anything ever happens to me, my cats are allowed to eat my dead corpse if they need to.
Okay, duly noted.
Yes.
I thought it was pretty fucked up with Billy hiding in the closet doing like the to lead her into the closet and then fucking use the plastic on her to choke
Yeah.
her, to suffocate her. I don't know if it was like a particularly like great kill, but I do like all the cuts back to Claire in that chair up in
Love
the
it
attic.
because he's just
Yeah.
rocking that chair, like heard the plastic on her face. It's pretty fun, and I think the movie poster has Claire with the plastic bag around her face, and it's, well known.
Yeah. So he manages to carry her up to the attic while all this is happening with all the, other women downstairs.
Well,
Gosh.
they're doing a gift exchange. So there's a lot
Right.
of like, yelling and laughing and all of that. So they're not hearing any of the noise that's going on upstairs.
At the same time, like, gosh, for all the noise that fucking Billy makes, like, I don't care how loud shit is. I don't care how loud the carolers are. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
It's you should be able to hear someone being brutally fucking murdered and then a body being carried up into the
Yeah.
fucking attic
Just thumping around.
because there's no clean way to carry. It's not like it's like a ladder even, or it's not
It
like a
is a
step
ladder.
ladder.
Yeah, it's like it's a straight up ladder. I don't even
Right.
know how you would bring a body up that way.
So it's funny when it's Rebecca Gayheart, I don't care
Oh
how she
no.
did it, how she carried those bodies, but when it's
She can
this
do
one, I'm
whatever
like,
she wants.
hold on.
Yeah.
Right. So downstairs, the phone rings again. This time it is Jess's boyfriend, Peter.
I'd say boyfriend, yeah.
I guess so. Fuck.
World's worst boyfriend.
I know. Do you want to go off on Peter a little bit here? Or
Do you want me to start now?
sure.
Okay. You know how you know you're a bad boyfriend? The cops think that you're the one going around murdering bitches. That's when you know you are not a good boyfriend.
Yeah, when people
Peter.
say you're not the killer and the cops are like, are you sure though? He's not.
Yeah, the cops are like, oh, I'm seeing a lot of red flags, and I am professionally trained to see red flags, these detectives. The thing with Peter, and I don't want to give him a break because it's 1974. Peter is
That haircut?
the haircut
Is
with the
that
turtleneck, like all of it, like how sensitive he is about being a pianist. Like, come on, get out of here. But also, he's all of these things. He's this like sensitive musician, but he's also controlling. He's possessive. He's making plans for himself and his girlfriend without even, and then like the world's worst marriage proposal. Like, not even a, like, I'm like, was that a marriage proposal? He's just like, yeah, well, we'll get married. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Is this the first time we're talking about this, right?
Oh yeah,
After we talked about me having an abortion?
he said it so casually. I thought that like, oh, this had been discussed plenty of
Like they
times
were already
prior.
engaged or
Like
something.
he's just reminding her politely, like, oh, remember we get married.
No. So, and I think too, the stupidity of this man, like, this is a woman who has goals. She's in college. She seems really smart, other than the fact that all of her friends are getting murdered around her and she doesn't notice. But, you know, she's level-headed enough, and I think Peter is her biggest weakness. Like, it's, yeah, he's just knows how to say the wrong thing all the time. And also, I forgot that comment that he makes about like you're about the abortion, like you're making it sound like it's like getting a wart removed. And I'm like, bro, how fucking dare you? How dare you presume to know what a woman would be feeling when she's thinking about getting an abortion? For some, they might be like, sure, not for me. Another day at the office, whatever. Others might be really going back and forth. If you're a religious person, you might think you're going to hell. Like, it can be very serious. So for him to like presume what she's feeling, didn't ask her how she's feeling at any point. He only considered himself.
Oh,
So
it's always about like, well, you know, I got my thing tonight. Like, you know, this shit's important to me. You know,
yeah,
this and this and this.
I can't believe you had the nerve to bring up that you're pregnant and you want to have an abortion when I have this important thing tonight. I'm sorry, what the fuck? And abortions in 1974 aren't like abortions in 2025. Or maybe I should go back a couple of years.
Well,
Maybe I should go back a couple of
technically,
years. But I mean, the technology was very different, procedurally, very different. So, I mean, Peter's just a real piece of shit. And like, not saying that Jess is perfect or anything, but I do appreciate her conviction and like how she like goes back in it. But honestly, that would have been it for me. I would have been like, you know what? I am also going to abort myself from this relationship because you're a fucking piece of shit. You're the wart I'm getting removed, actually. So perfect. Like, yeah, I can't with Peter. I texted you in the middle of watching this movie. I don't remember what I said. I was like, oh, Peter is whack. That's what I said.
I do cringe a little bit because I don't think I wasn't that bad, but like, I mean, I just remember like conversations in a relationship that wasn't the healthiest, and it was just when fucking she says to Peter, like, you know, well, I want to talk to you about something, but I want to talk to you face to face about it. And he's like, well, just tell me now, what is it? Because if someone wants to talk to you face to face in that context, it's
Probably
never going to be good
it's never
news.
gonna be good. Nope.
It's never going to be good. And you're just like, can you just tell me now? But
Yeah.
I'm like,
He
I was that dude sometimes.
I thought she was
Not in
gonna
that,
break up with him. I thought that's what the face to face was.
And then yeah, it was, well, at least in my case, it was like probably trying to break up with me and me being like, no, don't, please. I'm such a sensitive musician.
Oh my gosh.
But also I forget what year, The Empire Strikes Back came out.
You always bring up fucking Star Wars.
And it was like 1980, I think, was Empire Strikes Back. So
Yeah.
6 years, six is so fucking cold. And I love Jess for this. But 6 years before Empire Strikes Back, he goes, "I love you." And she goes, "I know." And just hangs up. And I was like, fuck. If I was Peter, I'm like, oh no, I am
Yeah.
getting so fucking divorced that
Yeah.
is I something. She
What?
wants to remove me and anything that's even half me from herself.
Honestly,
Pronto.
what I think, if I could assess this relationship like very quickly, I think Jess was like, you know what? Peter's gonna be dumb fun, good dick while I'm studying, getting my life together, like setting my goals. And then Peter was like, but what if we like tied the knot and had this baby? And she's like, whoa, like you were just for fun. And he's not really picking up on that. That's what I feel like the vibe of this relationship is, because she's not wanting the same things that Peter wants.
Well, he's clearly not in control of anything else in his life because he, one's a fucking shitty piano player. And two, so
Thank
he's just
you.
like, I just need something in my life to have control over. So why not this random lady?
Yeah, as
I don't
someone who
know.
doesn't play piano at all, and I like for just so everyone knows, Kyle does. As someone who doesn't play piano, as I was watching him play piano, I was like, that did not sound right. It's like, so he's fucking up.
Yeah, no, I remember being like, well, yeah, you know, jazz is jazz. Maybe this is just some real like aggressive jazz that, you know,
Yeah,
yeah, music's
it did
music,
not sound
notes go
right.
together, whatever. But I was
Yeah.
like, this doesn't sound good. I feel like this isn't supposed to sound good, but
Yeah, and he's like sweating, like he knows he's doing a shitty job. But yeah, we're getting caught up in all the Peter of everything, but ugh.
well, if you didn't want to sweat so much, you need to take that goddamn sweater off.
Why
Cut that
are
hair.
you rocking a turtleneck, bro?
Right. So let's see. Jess goes to check on Claire, but doesn't hear anything from her. And then let's see, we get some nursery rhyme situation from Billy up in the attic talking about baby Agnes or something, and I don't know. It's all, you know, inconsequential.
It really doesn't end up mattering, but there is an Agnes that Billy keeps referring to, and we never meet her, see her, or know anything about her.
Yeah. Let's see. So the next day, Claire, who's dead, by the way, her dad's on campus to meet her.
Oh,
I feel really bad for this dude from the get-go
I
because
know.
already you're like, oh man, you're waiting for your daughter and she's not coming. And then he gets hit with a fucking snowball to the face. And I'm like, oh my God, this dude, I would start crying.
And then he has to hang out with fucking Barb.
Yeah.
He's got it rough this whole movie.
So he can't find, or Claire never arrives, so he gets directions to the sorority house where he finds Mrs. Mack. They've got a whole real fun exchange there. I really like how much Mrs. Mack like really sticks up for all the girls in that house.
100%. Like
Yeah.
she's a retired like party girl
Yep.
and looks out for these girls in I what might seem irresponsible to some, but I think that she's like, listen, like they're gonna drink, they're gonna fuck, like I'm gonna be their guardian angel of these things. She's not trying to stop it, she's not giving them curfews, she knows that they're like dating and doing their thing, they got their fun, you know, their fun 70s looking posters with the people like fucking on the peace sign. I love that she like tries to cover it with her hand. Like
Yeah.
that, their whole exchange is very funny. It's like the only part of this movie that's kind of comedic,
It's a
on
pretty bleak
purpose.
movie otherwise, yeah.
Yeah. So I appreciate that you get like some fun there. And I like that the, is it Harrison, Mr. Harrison?
Yeah.
I like that after she heads out, he pulls the door to see what the poster had that she was covering. So fun. It's a cute scene because he's very like stern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't enroll my daughter in college to hook up with boys and get her
It's like,
fancies on. I'm like,
yeah,
bro,
you did though.
you did. So Jess unfortunately goes and visits Peter, where he's sitting at his piano and he's just like, oh, well, this is important for me tonight, and this is when she drops that she's having an abortion. She's like, this is not a discussion. I'm just letting you know, by the way. And still being like, and I'm willing to let you still be my boyfriend. I'm just letting you know I'm doing this. So he gets really pouty, really possessive about it. But Peter can go fuck right off.
He sure can.
But then the challenge is like on her way out. She's almost out the door, and he's like, "But come back though. Let's talk tonight. Come visit me."
And
And
she's like, all right.
"He's like, all right." And I'm like, "Ah," but she's like, "But I'm not changing my goddamn mind. But if you insist that I have to go and repeat myself, and you treat me to dinner, okay, fine." So Mr. Harrison cannot find Barb anywhere because, him and Mrs. Mack went to the fraternity house,
You mean Claire?
where, who did I say?
Barb.
Oh, it's because I'm
Yeah.
thinking of fucking, so they've got, I don't know if it's like for like underprivileged kids or something, but like someone's dressed as Santa. But when Mr. Harrison is calling his wife saying, "I can't find our daughter," and then in the background, it's all just undercut by Barb feeding a child alcohol. She just poured her champagne glass and she's just like, "Do you want some?" And even the little kid's kind of like, "I don't know." And she's like, "Oh yeah, drink it. Trust me, it'll be fun." I thought all of that was hilarious.
Yeah, Barb's great. She does something fun in the background earlier too. She's on the phone with her mom in the very beginning of the film when like the boys are leaving, and Jess is having an exchange with someone, like talking somewhat to someone as they're going out the door, and she's arguing with her mother. And I wrote down her quote because I thought it was so funny. She says to her mother, "You're a real gold-plated whore, mother." So Barb's is doing a lot of fun, weird things in the background of other people doing serious things.
That evening at the house, Jess is getting ready to meet Peter and then gets another call. Now, like again, we escalated from moaning to some grunting and squealing to like now we're getting multiple voices going on here.
Yeah, it's
And
a
this
whole
is,
scene.
yeah, and this is pre-Scream 3, right? So without, no, we don't have magic voice changers yet, but a man and a woman and a child all just yelling shit back and forth to each other. Mostly it's all a bunch of nonsense anyway, but
Yeah, Billy should have maybe instead of con like being a murderer, should have considered maybe the theater.
ventriloquism.
Yeah, or ventriloquism. Yeah, like because some of these voices are really impressive.
Yeah, you're like, well, you can, well, especially when they start kind of talking over each other a little bit,
Yeah,
right?
ventriloquism.
Exactly. Jess goes, "No thanks," and then hangs up. The next day, gosh, we wait. I'm surprised they wait this long to go to the police for the first time. But Barb, Phil, and Mr. Harrison go to the police. The cop is just a fucking dick, and he's a dick throughout this whole movie. It's just like, hey, anytime there's a missing sorority girl, they're probably at their boyfriend's, and but usually with their boyfriend's murdering them too.
Yeah, and like the one thing I guess that makes sense to me is that like this is before cell phones, so they probably wouldn't be like calling if they were like hanging out with their boyfriends for a couple days. But I'm like, I think what that cop doesn't understand is that like sorority sisters are very much like sisters and will say like, hey, I'm going to hang out with this guy. I might not be back for a little bit, but I'll call and make sure I'm okay. Like, they're not just going to leave for a couple days unless this is like a boyfriend or someone they really trust. So, like, if the boyfriend is popping up and saying, I don't know where she is, or the guy she's dating, the girls are inclined to be like, okay, something's really fucking wrong. So that's another annoying aspect of like this cop, because he's not understanding that aspect of like just solidarity between these women.
Yeah, he largely sucks and very much so, and he takes down their information and just kind of shrugs them off. I'm surprised how calm the dad is during this entire movie, to be honest. Maybe he just
I
feels
feel
like
like
he's
he's
gotta
just like
be.
in his head. He doesn't know what else he can do.
Right? Because he just feels just so like, okay, I guess I'm gonna go back and just stay at the sorority house and just wait and see if she shows up. And
Yeah. Well, the alternative is him like losing his cool, you know, and it's like that probably isn't going to work out for him.
well, I mean, here we've got next, we've got Jess finding out that Claire's been missing, and Jess seems to be the only person who thinks, huh, maybe we should go talk to Claire's boyfriend. I don't know. The only other person that saw her last, maybe.
She's
Luckily,
smart.
he's still in town playing hockey at the school. So, yeah, she checks on Chris. I think it's his name, Chris, right? Yeah. And Chris is like, yeah, no, I haven't seen her. She's supposed to be gone. They find out she's missing. First thing he does is storm right to the fucking police station. He's like, what the fuck? What
In
do you
his
mean you all
dope ass
aren't?
coat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was like, that's why I was like, what could Mr. Harrison do? I'm like, he get shit done. Start fucking, dude. Chris comes
Yeah,
in.
that's true.
Chris
That's
comes
true.
in with a very, very hearty, bring me your manager kind of energy,
He does, yeah.
which I respect because I am a little bit of a, I practice, I dabble a little bit in that as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I can get, it's whenever, if I feel particularly wronged by something on a customer service level, I fucking go for the jugular, but like in a very like fucked up, like
Love
I'm
that.
very kind the whole way through, and I'm very good about getting people's names and referencing their names over and over in my responses to them, and very slowly going up the chain to talk to someone that's just going to give me what I want, and not even just what I want, it's what I goddamn am entitled to,
So you're
but.
like a soft Karen.
Definitely,
Love that.
unfortunately.
Love that.
But you know what? I've used it to like, I've used it to do good as well.
Okay. That's how we're gonna justify it.
Yeah, so I feel like it works.
Love that.
I've absolutely, I'm not going to tell this whole story, but I got a refund from Airbnb for dog racism.
What on earth? Oh my God.
Successfully. And it was right because it was discrimination. Dog discrimination. So,
Like against a specific breed, or just like we don't want dogs here in general?
a specific breed,
Oh,
my dog in general, and judging my dog even before, and it's a
okay.
whole thing. I'm not going to get into it, but
Oh my goodness.
one day. So while everyone's getting the police to finally fucking pay attention and put a search party together, Jess just completely fucking, I don't think she forgot about Peter's like piano recital pro like final thing. I think she just fucking didn't care.
She prioritized.
Yeah, 100%. Because he sucks and you can tell he's like sweating, he's fucking mashing shit. I don't think he's even trying to fucking pretend to know what he's doing anymore. And you can tell the people watching him and judging him are just like, oh, Jesus Christ, this dude.
I think he already threw in the towel like before that happened and was like, you know what? I'm just gonna play, and then that's gonna be that.
Yeah.
Then I'm gonna go marry my girl who doesn't want to marry me.
So back at home, Barb's drunk talking about turtle sex.
Love that. But okay, Barb, read the room. This poor guy's daughter is missing, and she's like, you know, turtles can fuck for 3 days. Your daughter is probably just getting fucked for days.
I was just hoping that she, you know, like just was a really, it just had a lot of interest in just like dirty animal facts, you know, just like
No,
she
she's
just knows
very much making a point.
how all different types of animals can fuck, like if she can just, you know, has like an encyclopedic kind of memory of it. Yeah. So fucking again, while Chris is actually getting something done, Mr. Harrison is just sitting there listening to turtle sex conversations, right? Ultimately, Barb causes a scene, storms off, goes to bed. She's not going to leave that bedroom. So, Chris and Claire then head back to the couch. Sorry. So Chris and Claire head back to the house, tell them they got the search team. Mr. Harrison and Phil are like, all right, fuck yeah, let's go. And then we leave. Who's left in this house? We've got Barb and we've got Mrs. Mack. And of course, Mrs. Mack, oh my gosh, I love her. But literally her last words are like, oh, everyone's leaving, and she goes to like Phil or something and says, like, oh, hey, just by the way, if you come back and you can't find me, just don't worry about
I
it.
left town.
'Cause I think I just left town, and so don't worry about it. Don't ask any questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is funny because that feels like, because I immediately thought to myself, okay, that is a horror, like a slasher trope of, oh, I'm going to LA tomorrow, or I'm leaving town, so no need to worry about if I'm missing. But I guess this probably would have been one of the first ones to do that. It's convenient.
Yeah. So Mrs. Mack then, of course, promptly gets murdered. Yeah.
Farmers.
Poor Miss Mack. Oh, geez. And then after finding Claire's body, should
Yeah.
be pretty fucked up. And then, yeah, just gets a fucking, I don't know why you've got this swinging hook up in
Just
this
hanging
attic.
out in the attic. Yeah, that
Right.
nobody goes to.
Yeah. And just fucking, just, yeah, hook right to the fucking face. So she's dead.
Yeah.
And the movie, yeah, just gets less fun as soon as she dies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because then I think my favorite character becomes Lieutenant.
Probably. So I know with the search party, they do find a dead girl in the park, but it's not Claire. So, because earlier, I think maybe not the first, maybe the second time they went to the police station, there was another woman looking for her daughter. And so this
Yeah.
is the person that we find. Her name's
Yeah.
Janice. Didn't
People
seem
just
to be
get murdered.
connected really to anything,
No.
but.
People just get murdered left and right.
And it wasn't, likely wasn't Billy, I don't
Yeah.
think,
I don't
right?
think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like how it very well couldn't have been and probably wasn't Billy that attacked that girl they were talking about in the beginning of the movie, right?
Yeah, I
Could have
don't think
been.
so.
Yeah. So that's just fucked up. Just thinking about how many just fucking crazy serial killers are just out right now,
No, just living their lives.
living their lives. It's fucked
Yeah.
up. So Jess comes back, calls for Mrs. Mack, no luck. She calls, she gets another phone call, more voices, nonsense, etc. Tries to call the police and then gets surprised by Peter, who just fucking snuck his way in somehow and made his way upstairs and then came down the
Yeah,
stairs to surprise her.
which is
Fucking
like
creep.
making you. Or making him your red herring,
Yeah. It's just, that's the issue. Like, if you just don't act like a guy who's a serial killer, people might not think you're a serial killer, you know?
Well, and this conversation, especially Peter, is very unhinged because they're kind of having, like, they're revisiting the conversation that they had earlier, but at some point, like, he throws an ornament from the tree. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
He takes an ornament and throws it off the tree. First of all, Peter, that's not your fucking Christmas tree. So don't be breaking people's ornaments. They're probably Mrs. Mack's ornaments. I mean, she's not going to do anything with them anymore, but he doesn't know that. And then he also ends the conversation with a threat
Yeah.
because he says, you'll be sorry. That is some murdering shit to say, Peter. Like, that's something that you would say before murdering your girlfriend because you're pissed that she's gonna have an abortion.
Yeah, like
Absolutely.
when fucking Jess starts by, first of all, being like, what the fuck, dude? He's like, oh, what? Just want to say hi. I've got the bed ready upstairs. You want to go hang out? I don't know
Yeah.
if he said that, something along those lines.
Yeah.
But he's, or sorry, rather, Jess is like saying, Claire's been missing. I literally was just outside at the park and we found another dead girl's fucking body. And then of course Peter's just like, oh, I'm sure Claire's fine. Let's talk about me again. I thought now that I totally fucked up and was an asshole during this piano recital situation, and then I went and destroyed school property and a beautiful piano out of rage because I'm an asshole, and you have
Mm
the now you've got the ability to make choices about your own, healthcare situation. I just don't think, I was having a laugh. We don't need to play piano anymore. I'm done. I'm just gonna move, and you can come with me. And we're just gonna go do what we're doing. And she's like,
But get
the
married.
f yeah, get married. Yeah, the fuck we are. Yeah, she's like, no thanks, no thanks, pal. But my favorite is like when she's like, I'm not gonna marry you. I'm sorry. And it was really like in a, at first it was like, I'm not gonna marry you. Then it turned into, I'm not gonna marry you, but like underneath,
Like
and we're breaking
ever.
up right now.
Yeah.
And we're just gonna be over right now.
Yeah.
And then he has the gall to be like, well, okay, but what about the baby? And she's like, did I fucking stutter last time?
Yeah, she's like, what baby?
Yeah, what baby? I boarded that like 5 minutes after you and I talked. What are you talking about? Get
She's
out of
like, in
here.
between our conversation and the search party, I was already out.
Yeah.
Out of the
So the
doctor.
Yeah, so he's, yeah, you're right. So he just fucking cries and whines and shit, and then it turns into like breaking things and making threats, and you're just like, bro, like, and he storms out. Chris, the lieutenant who comes in, he's like, what the fuck is this fucking asshole? And she's
Yeah, he
like,
notices him right away. He's like, that guy's storming off.
and she goes, oh no, it's just Peter.
Yeah, he's harmless.
He's harmless. So the lieutenant arrives because he's like, you know what? You know what? I'm gonna admit there are some weird things going on with people getting attacked and murdered, and you are getting a lot of phone calls. So, we want to tap your line, which I'm like, I don't know if I would have agreed to them doing that just yet.
I would have absolutely.
Big brother shit. Because then there
If
were other
they,
conversations where I'm like, hold on, wait, you get to listen to those two?
well,
And
yeah,
he's
they
like,
have
well,
to listen
yeah.
to everything. Yeah, like they have to listen to everything in order to know. But I had no idea that phone like tracking technology was this advanced in 1974. I was really impressed.
For as ridiculous as the whole thing like looks as it plays
Yeah.
out during the movie, I am still impressed of like, wait, really? I mean,
Yeah.
you could feasibly, yeah, get a phone call from one place to another, and apparently there's just some giant fucking like warehouse sized building
Right?
with a bunch of machines that all make little dingly sounds, and you just kind of have to run around and
Yeah.
find.
And he hooked that up in what? Like, that couldn't have taken him longer than an hour.
I was still entirely unsure, like, how he was able to locate the right one. Cause I'm like, I don't know, they're all doing shit. Like, cause everyone's probably making phone
I mean,
calls to each
obviously
other.
he's trained.
I mean, yes, off
Yeah, like
clearly.
he knows what he's doing, but I just yeah, I was blown away by that. I couldn't believe it. And what? Like they probably only needed them on the phone for like a minute.
10 minutes.
What? Not 10 minutes. That was not a 10-minute phone call.
It wasn't, but that's what they said. They were like, yeah, we need him on for like 10 minutes.
They did not say 10 minutes. You're tripping.
It's because it's a long fucking time. Even a minute's a long
I thought
time,
it was
but
like a minute.
no, because
But
there
I
are a
do
couple
like that they're
times.
like, Jess, they're like, keep him on the phone longer. Like, what are you doing? And I'm just like, she's doing her best. Like, come on, guys.
She's not the one hanging up, right?
Yeah, exactly. She's like, I mean, I'm listening to all the weird shit. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, be like,
Tell
oh
me
no,
more about that.
yeah, egg him on a little bit,
Yeah.
yeah. Right. I like how because when even the lieutenant's just like, hey, I'm sorry, you gotta keep him on longer than that.
Yeah.
And she's just like, yeah, but it upsets me.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, it
He's like, I
sucks.
know.
But that was like, I mean, I guess compared to Peter, like, the lieutenant's the only person that showed any, or and the only other male, I guess, that showed any other sort of like compassion, and like that was it. It was just like a, yeah, that does kind of suck.
Yeah.
But
Like
I'm gonna need you to do this though.
that's like it for the 70s, that's him being like a hardcore feminist. Him being like, I acknowledge your feelings, but still do it.
Yeah. So let's see. Phil goes to bed. It's just Jess downstairs. Peter's still lurking around crying behind a tree outside. They also put a cop parked out front. And then Billy's up in the attic with the corpses. So just so you got an idea of where everybody is.
Having a party.
Yeah. He sneaks down into Barb's room. You did this, you get this quick little fake out because you hear Barb screaming, and Jess goes into the room where presumably Billy is as well. And then she just like needs her an inhaler. She's like out of breath or
She's like
something.
gasping.
Yeah. All right, be like, all right, checked out. You're doing okay. I'm gonna leave you to it. Lights off. See you later. And Jess leaves Barb back to it. Just in time for a bunch of like child carolers to arrive, like unaccompanied by an adult.
No, there was an adult with them.
Was there? Okay. Oh,
Yeah,
you're right,
in
right.
the middle in the back row. Can we talk about carolers for a moment? Because we didn't talk about the caroling that happened in Gremlins
Oh, when the gremlins are
when
caroling?
the Gremlins are caroling.
Yeah.
And I just have you ever had carolers come to your door?
Maybe once. Not here, though.
Yeah, I think once ever in my life that's happened. And I have to say, it's just a very awkward experience. And I don't really know what I'm supposed to get out of it. I don't like Christmas carols. I appreciate nice vocal work, but I'll go to a place if I want to hear people sing. Don't come to me. And then, like, just give them a tip. Are you supposed to tip them? What?
I think it's helpful. They probably have like a bucket for like a tip jar or something. I don't know, but
I just don't know. I'm not into that. I would tell them, please move along, go to the next house.
I like some Christmas carols, but I like the more, super old, a little spooky type,
Yeah.
ones. Real
Yeah,
old timey ones.
not that type of vibe of these Christmas killers. Or if it was like a barbershop quartet situation and they were singing Christmas songs, that'd be kind of fun.
I don't like that. I don't like
I would
barbershop
love
quartets.
that. I would love that. It'd be so fun.
I don't know. I didn't know. I just assumed barbershop was like down there with like ska in terms of like respectability and just the type of dork that would do it. And
Yeah,
I'm that
that's
type of
probably
dork. I love
true.
ska, but
Yeah,
I.
you have some nerve.
Yeah. So. These carolers are also so loud that you cannot hear Billy stab the shit out of Barb and kill her.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. Like goes to town.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Barb's dead. Carolers leave, phone starts ringing. I guess I would have thought like, and I maybe tell me if I missed this, but like if I was like the cop, I guess maybe he's not alive at this point, but like the cop that's parked
Oh,
outside,
he's not alive. I feel like he
okay.
was gone quickly.
Like immediately.
Like
Okay. Because
immediately.
I would have been like, hey, or at least told the adult that was with the carolers, be like, not this house right now. Honestly, not this neighborhood to be right now, to be honest with
Yeah,
you.
I'd be like,
Y'all
y'all need to
should,
go home.
y'all
There's
need,
dead children in the park.
yeah, there's just
Which
dead kids
does
popping up.
happen, like at the end, that lady like intervenes, but
Finally.
yeah, it's too much.
Yeah. So the phone starts ringing again. Jess answers. Billy's doing all the voices, all the screaming. Again, love watching this dude at this call center just run around these giant rows of machines,
Yeah, me too.
trying to do something that I just don't understand. I don't know what
Yeah,
he's doing and what
no.
he's checking for, but I would love to learn. A very
Yeah.
useless, skill at this point. But Billy hangs up. The lieutenant calls again, like saying, "Like, hey, I'm sorry. You gotta do this a little longer." It's, which I mean, also, I'd be like, "Hey, well, stop fucking calling me and holding up the fucking line, bro." Like,
Yeah, maybe they'll call back.
yeah, don't ruin this for me. And again, she doesn't think this is Peter, even though the lieutenant clearly thinks it is.
Yeah.
But Billy, presumably, is saying shit that, or he's repeating shit that Peter was saying in their conversation.
Yeah, which because you don't know that Billy is in the house, you would presume that
Right.
that person was there for the conversation or had that conversation with you rather than they were listening to the conversation. But that would be my second guess.
Yeah. And it doesn't help because immediately, like, the real Peter calls and is again blabbing and crying like a baby.
Yeah,
So just
drunk,
like,
I think.
yeah, sounding just like Billy, to be honest. And then, again, like the lieutenant's just like, are you sure it's not him? Are you sure he hasn't been acting a little weird?
Do you really trust him? And then he starts asking, did you maybe tell him about the pregnancy earlier than today?
Well, because that's the thing. That's how it clearly couldn't have been him. Because I mean, the killing was starting before.
Or
If it
if
was
that
simply the
was the
abortion
trigger.
thing, you're
Yeah, like if
right.
that was the trigger, but I mean, clearly there was already issues to begin with. I mean, he very well could just be a totally separate killer. He's not killing these girls, he's killing other girls.
Exactly. Some of the search party guys come by and like surprise Phil because they're
These
like looking
fucking
in the
guys.
kitchen window. But and then come by and they're like, oh, don't worry, we're a search party, yeah, maybe the last girl's dead, but we're gonna walk around and just keep everyone safe. Don't worry,
Yeah. Well, also they ask if they can come in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you may not fucking come in. You're already in my yard. I could see you from my fucking kitchen window. I don't want to see anybody from my fucking kitchen window. Like, most kitchen windows are placed in such a place that it is not the front of your house.
Yeah.
So you better fuck right off from my kitchen window. Like, when, what does Phil say? She says she'd rather face the killer. Absolutely, I 100% relate to her in that moment because she was like, what the fuck? You scared the shit out of me.
Well, they're making it really easy, and Billy didn't even need to climb into this fucking attic to sneak in because I think I had to like triple check and see like Jess is like, huh. Can you believe this back door is the only door we lock? Should we go lock the
She
other
said
doors in the
that.
house?
That's your opportunity to do a whole check of the house, girl, but and then you lock all the windows and doors. Should they have already been locked? Yeah, Claire's fucking missing.
Oh,
She could have been stolen out of her own bedroom.
they're like 3 days late. It's well
Yeah.
beyond locking doors now. I'm like, might as well just not. Who cares?
I can't even believe that. Yeah, that's wild. Or that the cops wouldn't have been like, hey, if you haven't already, lock all the windows and doors.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Maybe they just thought like, well, they're not so fucking dumb. They'd be doing that already, right? Or because
Yeah.
it's not like it's a situation where it's like, I mean, I don't know if the sorority house acts like an apartment building in the sense where the main house is open, but there's locks for the bedrooms.
Or they just, there's always someone home. So they just, unless you're the last person to leave the house, you're not responsible for locking any doors.
Yeah, I would never live in that sort of situation.
Yeah, that's wild.
Oh my
Too many
God.
people coming in, going, boyfriends,
No, thank you. So they finally get around to locking the windows and the doors. Phil hears a sound from Barb's room, goes in, checks on her, dies off screen. Bye, Phil.
I love Phil.
Yeah, I liked her too. So now it's just Jess left, the only one left alive. And she gets another phone call. This time, Natalie. They finally track it. They kept him on the phone
Oh,
for
yeah.
long enough. You ready for this?
Oh, I'm ready.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Natalie, the call is coming from inside the goddamn house. Of course, the lieutenant's just like, that can't be fucking right. You just got it wrong, you idiot.
Yeah,
And then
he's
the
like,
phone
what the
guy's like,
fuck?
I'm a trained expert, bro. If there's anything I can do right, if you give me 10 minutes, it's to find out who the fuck is calling who. And
Yeah.
I'll tell you
And
right now.
they said there's two lines in the house.
But and earlier they just wave it off. They're just like, ah,
Yeah.
yeah, but
Yeah,
nobody
because
uses that one.
she's got a line and not smart of Jess or the lieutenant to even think when they were talking about Peter, had
Yeah.
was he there, when any of these calls happened. She's like, yes, he was in the house, when the call happened. If I was the lieutenant, I'd be like, oh, absolutely. It could have been him
Oh yeah,
just calling from that other line.
we've gotten people put in jail for far less than this.
Yeah.
We can, this is
100.
enough evidence. We're good.
Absolutely. But yeah, it's a fun reveal. I mean, we I knew that from having, this movie's been around for so long. But I mean, can you imagine seeing this movie back in the 70s for the first time? You'd be like, what the fuck? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but I mean, but you knew he was inside the house the whole time. So I don't know if I'd be as shocked then.
Well, that the phone calls are coming from inside the house. I mean, I guess you would know that they were coming from inside the house, but it's fun
Yeah, and
still.
just all, and then you go upstairs and just, oh my God, all the things he masturbated all over during these phone calls. Oh no.
We have to get rid of all the furniture.
Lieutenant tries to call the officer that's parked out front, but again, we don't know. He could have been dead just immediately.
Yeah,
Because,
definitely.
yeah. So, Lieutenant gets the station then to call Jess.
Fucking
And then it's
Nash.
this fucking dipshit, same dude from earlier, who's like, they're just like, hey, you need to tell her. Like, to be fair, like, Jess was like not cooperating.
Yeah.
When
They tell
the
somebody, he's like,
guys,
don't tell her.
yeah. He's just like, look, just put down the phone, walk through the front door. And just leave,
I,
right?
if he told me that, I would assume that there was someone in the house and I would just leave. And if you hadn't heard, like, she was just calling for the other girls. If you haven't heard them call back at you, they're fucking dead. Or you need to assume that they're tied up or held captive or something and like wait for the cops, because at that point they already are aware that something's very wrong.
I guess I just don't think I would, you know, if I was a teenage child, I mean, not teenager, I guess she's like, what, gotta be like 18 to 20, somewhere in that, you know, like, I don't know if it's like a coward move. I'm just like, I think I would just cooperate.
I would
But then at the same
cooperate.
time, well, at the same time, I'm thinking like it would have been a wilder twist if, I don't know,
If he was
no.
outside, if she went outside and he was like on the front porch.
And he was the one making the phone call now, just using a regular voice, being like, hey, this is the police.
Oh, ew.
Because how the fuck
Yeah.
is she supposed to know who's even on the other line at that point?
Very true, but it would be highly suspicious again that like the girls have not answered back to her.
Well, so when she walks out, and I'm just like, oh, you just, she didn't even unlock the door. She goes to the door, turns around, and starts calling out, and then starts screaming their names.
Yeah.
And you're like, if they didn't answer you like you said, if they didn't answer you the fucking first time,
Yeah,
they,
they're dead.
and you can tell, like, she, even when she starts screaming their names, like, she knows, like,
She
no,
knows.
they're dead.
Yeah, she's, I think she's in like a bit of shock and desperation and is really hoping that they will answer back if she just keeps yelling. Like there's, I think, a shock that's leading to a lack of logical behavior. So I'll give her that. But when she looks at that fireplace and like goes for the poker, I'm like, nope. You know that the cops know.
Yeah.
So just leave it. Like your friends are dead.
Or let the
Claire's been
cops
dead for
come.
days. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, just let them come and search the house, which apparently we like we'll get there. But yeah, that's where I like just really loses me is this part here.
Yeah, grab the fireplace poker. That's fine, but go
Go
outside.
outside with it.
Yeah.
Just
Oh,
be ready to
Jesus.
stab anybody who runs at you.
Instead, she goes right upstairs. For what? I just think, yeah, thinking that maybe there's some chance they're going to be alive. And again, doesn't even unlock the front door. And this is going to fuck her later.
Yep.
Because immediately she goes upstairs, opens the first fucking door, and yep, there's Phil and Barb just dead as fuck,
Dead.
just bloodied and fucking dead as hell on this bed. And then she fucking gets attacked by Billy and they start chasing through the house.
Surprise,
Jesus Christ.
surprise. And
Yeah.
there's your first hint that it's not Peter because Billy has brown or like brownish reddish looking eyes, and Peter has like crystal blue eyes.
Does, I don't know if Jess ever finds Mrs. Mack or Claire up in the attic.
No,
'Cause she runs right to the down to the basement then,
we'll
right?
get to that later because no one finds Mrs. Mack or Claire in the attic,
Yeah,
which means they did not search the whole house.
it's pretty bad.
It's Yeah, so like if Peter wasn't your assailant, then they're still there, or they've, I guess they fleed.
So she runs downstairs, again, tries to go out the front door, but it's like, oh, I locked it. I'm fucking stupid. Gotta keep running. And then goes to the basement and then is able to use like one of those sliding locks. I did think this was pretty effective for a little bit, like just for how long he keeps trying to break the door open. And then realizing that during this chase, there's no music. And I was thinking how effective that is too.
Yeah, it's weird. I had mixed feelings about there being no music because, I mean, as you know, it's a big thing for me, but I didn't really realize until like the scene was already like had seen its th way through. So I guess it's not the worst thing in the world.
I think it, like, I don't know if it was intentional, but conveyed just the loneliness, the quietness of being, you're the only one. No one's coming to fucking help you. Everyone's fucking dead. It is a quiet fucking snowy night. But
Silent night, if you will.
yeah. Ooh. Ah. Different movie. But so she goes and hides in the attic, or sorry, hides in the basement. This is the first, I think, time we see the basement in this movie. Yeah, so I don't like introducing like a new area like it th in the last 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, like somebody could have gone to the basement to get like, I don't know, something. You just,
Yeah.
just so we see that there is a basement.
Like Mrs. Mack could have just went downstairs and just found another bottle of liquor she's hiding.
Yeah, or looking for Quad.
Yeah. Fucking Claude. Claude's too busy just up in the attic the whole time eating people.
Hey, at least he's safe.
Yeah, because I don't think anyone thought to feed Claude, so during this whole
Yeah.
time.
What else is he gonna do?
Yeah.
Fighting for his
So
life.
she's down in the basement, and then also at the same time, the pounding on the door stops. Coincidentally, Peter is sneaking back into the house through the basement. Able
For why, Peter?
just to fucking be dumb. And we don't see exactly how it happens. I mean, with the fireplace poker, probably. But then, she's like saying, fucking get back. What are you doing here? He's like being all cryptic and shit. Then it cuts because you don't see her attack him.
Yeah,
But the
do you think it's
police.
her that attacks him, or do you think it's Billy and then like knocks her out and sets her body aside? Like, what do we think happened there?
Oh, no, I think she killed him.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think so. I guess you never like really find out for sure, but because you don't hear anything from Jess for the rest of the movie because the lieutenant arrives, they're able to break down the doors, they get in, and they find his dead body, Chris's. Sorry, not Chris.
Peter's.
Peter.
And I
And
think they make it
Jess.
a point to have his eyes are like wide open so
And
that you
not
can
brown.
see that they are blue and not brown. So it's like, okay, as an audience, we know that Peter is not our killer.
Yeah. So, but I mean, the lieutenant comes in, sees her, sees his dead body. He's probably just like, see, I fucking knew it was fucking him. All right. All right, guys. This one's over. We can wrap this one up. No need to make this a crime scene or anything. Don't even worry. We're just
Well,
gonna.
he says, like, for the other guy, he's like, stay with her, like, don't leave her side. But then Mr. Harrison goes into shock and he's like, oh, I gotta take care of this guy. And someone
Right.
else comes and like turns off the light. I was like, wait, what are y'all doing? There's still a cop out front.
There's one cop out front left. But like, yeah, like we said, like at the end of the movie, it's just like her like passed out in bed, and you've got Chris, who's Claire's boyfriend, and Mr. Harrison and the lieutenant being like figuring out like, all right, who's making phone calls to who? Who's, wrapping this one up. Like you said, Mr. Harrison finally goes into shock, finally like reacts to everything that's been going on, right?
It's a little late, but it's okay.
And like you said, they carry him out, and then and here I'm thinking, like, why is Jess still here? Like, this is a
She
crime
should
scene, or
be, and she should be in the hospital.
yeah, right? And
Because
but
also
that's
the
not
detective knows that she's pregnant too, which could
Right.
also be another problem with her being like unconscious or attacked or whatever it may be, because she could miscarry
Yeah.
and bleed out while she's unconscious.
So they just leave her there in this house because we get this last POV shot of kind of going through the house, seeing how it's just all the lights are off, it's empty. The only person in this whole house is fucking Jess and Billy, potentially. You've got the police officer outside,
No,
and then you
Billy's
hear,
there. Billy's like singing.
you hear the singing coming from the attic, right?
And the phone ringing.
And the phone ringing as they zoom out.
Which also, when they zoom out, you can see Claire's fucking saran wrapped ass head from the window
Yeah.
outside. You mean to tell me nobody looked in that window for days? Nobody went into that attic. The attic is open. The ladder is down. No one put the ladder back up, and nobody went up there. That is such a failure of police work. And like, I don't even blame the writing that much for that one, because I'm like, no, those fucking dumbass cops probably would do something that stupid, since they left that girl, that traumatized, unconscious girl, all by herself. She's gonna wake up and be like, where the fuck am I? What happened? She should be in the hospital. That is absolutely bonkers to me.
I think we've both said in different episodes of this podcast where we hear things going on in our basement or sorry, in our attics, and we're just like, nope,
Nope.
not looking. So maybe it's the same situation. They're like,
But the cops are the idiots that are supposed to look for us.
yeah, I guess that's true.
Like,
That is what
if
our
you're going to
tax
be
dollars should be
useful,
for.
yeah, like, if you're going to be useful about anything, I'm going to need you to go check that attic because somebody's singing up there and you knew calls were coming from inside the house. Where's the other phone, bro? Where the fuck is it? Use some fucking detective work and figure that shit out. Fun fact, though, the phone rings throughout the whole credits.
Love that.
Yeah,
Well,
it's kind of fun.
because it's only fucking Jess in there and she's asleep.
The cop hears it, like you see him kind of like look back, and then he's like, nah, I'm not getting that.
Well,
Couldn't be
he's probably like,
important.
yeah, right. Oh my gosh. But yeah, roll credits. That's our movie, Natalie. I don't think I left anything out.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
It's a simple story, and it works.
It works.
Yeah.
Natalie, what are the taglines for this movie?
Oh, you're going to be so excited. Guess how many taglines this one has?
Two.
Two is your guess?
Yeah.
There's eight.
Love that.
two of them, and two of them are paragraphs.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
We'll start with those.
Yeah.
Ready? "'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, a creature was stirring. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, but it was hard to say that Saint Nick would be there. This year, a Christmas of another color brings a killer on the loose." That's a long ass tagline.
I get what they're going with, but I feel like you could tighten that up a little bit.
Why would you put one rhyme and then the rest of it not rhyme?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay, second long one. "It's beginning to look a lot like bloodshed. Christmas is
Okay.
almost here, and an axe-wielding psycho is terrorizing a sorority. As it happens, the mad murderer also makes obscene phone calls, and he lives right above the girls." This tells you the
That's
whole
like,
plot.
that's just too much at once. I like that.
It's so much. "Christmas is coming early this year, and it's murder." That one's okay.
Okay.
"The sort of Christmas you don't dream of."
Yeah, I guess so. Do you dream of Christmas? Is that like a common refrain?
I mean, people, I would think so. Like kids do,
Yeah,
right?
I guess so.
He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows.
And Santa Claus is kind of a pervert too, so
Yeah.
it
We've
applies.
talked about our thoughts on Santa before.
Yeah.
Have yourself a scary little Christmas, not at all like the ones you used to know. I
I
think they
think
could have just
just,
kept it, have yourself a scary little Christmas.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then this one's kind of weird. Black Christmas will rock you too. Oh, because the rocking chair.
Okay.
That one's dumb. And
Yeah.
then the last one, which you might already know, is one of my favorite ever taglines because it could be used for a lot of things, but I think it's really good. If this movie doesn't make your skin crawl, it's on too tight.
I love that one because it's essentially saying, if you don't like this movie, it's a fucking you problem, bro.
Yeah. And it's creepy. Like, oh, your skin is on too tight.
It's
Ooh.
gross. Yeah,
Yeah.
I like the very aggressive, like, fuck you if you don't like this movie.
Yeah.
That
So that's a good tagline.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's your taglines for Black Christmas.
Wonderful. Boo scores. I am gonna let you go first.
Perfect. I was hoping you would because I think I've gone or you've gone first, but maybe the last couple times. Let's see. I would consider this movie a classic. I don't think it's as Christmassy as people give it credit for. Like, I think you could watch this at any time of year and it would be irrelevant that it's Christmas. Like, there's really not much Christmas themed things happening. So I don't understand.
It's a wintry movie, though.
Yes, but I mean, I don't know. I wasn't feeling the Christmas vibes. Maybe that's a hot take, but I would recommend this to people who want to watch older horror and older slashers, particularly. I wouldn't recommend it to everyone because I think the 70s can be a little bit harder to digest. Like the acting is always like feels a bit off. But if it was on in a hotel, I would leave it on the TV. And none of the characters, like even like Barb, who clearly is supposed to be obnoxious, like none of them are so obnoxious that you don't want to watch it, except for maybe Peter. But even then, like the way Jess handles him makes it worth it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about us not really knowing our killer or seeing our killer at all, or all of the convoluted, like talking scene setting backstory that happens through the phone calls that we know nothing about. That feels a little off to me, but I do think that this is a solid foundation for slashers. And I think I'm assuming Jess doesn't make it out of this, so I don't know if you could call her a final girl.
She's technically the final one, even if she,
That's true. So I'm gonna give this movie three boos. I think it's very ahead of its time. This is me being real generous because I do think it's very ahead of its time, and I do think it's the best of the three Black Christmas movies.
low bar, but yes.
Yeah, low bar, but yeah.
I
How about you?
agree. Yeah, I agree. I'm gonna give it three boos as well. I like everybody in it. I generally like, so I like Jess the least, but like you said, I think just the way she treats Peter
Yeah.
kind of redeems her a lot.
Uh-huh.
I'm just like, okay, she's cool. You know, whereas like the rest of these people, like, oh, like I wanna hang out at that house. I wanna be that friend that dresses up as Santa, swears in front
Yeah.
of the children, you
Yeah.
know? But yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, you've got an off-screen kill with Phil. But I don't know, like the vibe's good. Like I watched it yesterday and I watched it again today. It was just as breezy of a watch. Industry legend John Saxon, by the way, right? We
I know,
brought
I
that
love
up,
him.
you know, dude's just cool and just plays that role.
Yeah, cop energy.
Love it. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I've got no real complaints, but I've certainly seen where any tropes that it kind of originates like are done better later on in other movies, you
Oh, for
know.
sure.
It's like I feel this movie is not bad at anything, but it's not particularly great at anything either.
Yeah.
So I do feel like just normally it would be like a 2.5, but I think because I was just so pleased with this second watch, like this back-to-back one, and I don't know. I think it's fun. I think it's Christmassy enough. I don't even know if they say Christmas in the movie.
That's what I'm saying. I like after watching Gremlins and then doing this movie, like doing these two movies back to back, Gremlins feels so Christmassy
Because you use
compared to
Christmas
this.
music, and I think that has a lot to do with it. And yeah, you get like people decorating and the Santa Claus.
I
I
guess, okay, the
think,
carolers, I guess, are,
right.
festive enough.
I think probably, you know, and I'm not saying that like anything that the 2006 one does is better. However, there are some kills, I believe, in that one that are a little more like Christmassy themed,
I
you
agree.
know,
Yeah.
if I remember right, which I don't know if I am,
You're
but
right.
maybe if we wanted, you
And
know.
the rem and the second remake, the one from 2020, whatever it was, that one also has more like Christmas themed kills.
Yeah, whereas this one, I mean, what is it that Barb gets stabbed with? That like
It's like a
unicorn
un it's like
ice
a
pick or
crystal unicorn.
yeah.
Like the sh horn of the unicorn she gets stabbed with.
Yeah, I think I would have wanted to see someone get like, you know, suffocated with like some like ribbon,
Or
you
some
know.
lights.
There's some lights, you know, stabbed with a sharp candy cane that you like, you know. He's just up there just nom 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 nom, just licking candy canes so they get all sharp in the end. Nom nom
Yeah.
nom 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 nom.
Yeah. Candy canes are definitely a weapon. So
Yeah.
they should always be used as such. You know what you didn't bring up? Maybe this was more my responsibility, and I think it's important that we discuss it. John Saxon, when he goes and checks out the piano, the like the what did they call it? The conservatory,
Yeah.
with the piano, and he's looking up at the smashed piano. The outfit that he's wearing like a trench coat and a fedora. He looks like an old-timey detective. And when I saw him in that, I was like, sir, that is an outfit. Like, he's looking like fucking Dick Tracy out there. I
He's like, I want
loved
to solve a
it.
real crime.
Yeah.
Or kind of like funny, full circle, like talking about gremlins. Reminds me like when Raphael like goes out, you know,
Yes.
to hang out against the you know, along with the common people.
Yeah, the trench coat and the fedora.
The trench coat and the fedora. And in that first Ninja Turtles movie, he's walking out of the movie Gremlins.
Yes.
And so I should have brought this up during the Gremlins episode, damn it. But someone had said it's like, oh, the best way to watch Ninja Turtles is the 1990 first live action one is to watch it all the way up until Raph gets out of the movie and you pause it and then you
Watch
put on.
Gremlins.
Oh no, he's what I'm sorry, he's watching Critters. He's not watching
Oh,
Gremlins.
dang
Sorry.
it.
Sorry. But I'm not gonna say same difference because it's not. But
Very different.
watch the Ninja Turtles all the way up until that point, and then put on Critters and watch all of
Yeah,
Critters, and then go back to Ninja Turtles at that point where he walks out. And I haven't done that yet, but I think that'd be really fun. But
I think so too.
I'm just so dumb
Critters
that
is
I.
rough. I don't know when the last time you watched that is.
Well, I mean, that was Raphael's, you know, critique when he walked out, being like, "Where they fucking come up with this shit these days? Come on."
Yeah, no, it's unhinged. I watched it with my son, and we were both like, what are we watching?
Yeah, we've brought it up before because I always say like I remember Critters 2 with the
Yeah.
Easter Bunny and
Yeah.
just how fucked up that was. But oh well. But hey, we're talking about Black Christmas. But that's really
Yeah.
kind of all I've got. If you celebrate Merry Christmas, if you are celebrating any other of the holidays here in December, hopefully that's fucking going well for you as well. You know. Lock the fucking doors. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like,
Just, and you know, do a sweep of your house. If a friend goes missing and you have multiple bedrooms, check all the rooms. Just,
yeah.
you know, I mean, she could have even, like, it didn't even have to be murder. She could have slipped in the shower,
Yeah.
you know, and no, like nobody like took a shower for 3 days and was like, well, I don't know what happened to Claire.
All right, everybody. Check on your friends. And if you tell it, I guess, yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking about Mrs. Mac, poor Mrs. Mac. If you tell anybody like that kind of shit, like, oh, hey, I would be like, hey, if all this was going on, I would grab one of those girls, pull her aside, be like, hey, now I'm going to go pack and leave, but I need you to call me. And if you don't hear from me at like this specific time,
Yeah.
I'm dead.
Yeah. Look for my body, please.
Look for me because some weird shit going on right now. I'm a little drunk, so I don't have like all the, cognizance or whatever in the world to know my surroundings, but I don't want to die. So can you do that for me, please? Please, Phil.
Check and please feed Claude.
Feed your cat. It wouldn't be meowing and leading you astray so much.
Yeah.
Maybe the cat was in on it,
Yeah, like these people don't feed me, kill them all.
Yeah. That's the whole part is, the Mike, or sorry, I don't know, fucking Mike. I don't know. I'm thinking about the name. Billy comes into the attic, makes friends with Claude, and then Claude's like, I've got a plan. I'm just going to lure everybody out, do my meowing, meowing. I love that. All right, everybody. Happy holidays, and gosh, we only have one more for the rest of the year, and it's our wrap up on 2025
Recap.
movies. Love
I'm
that.
ready.
So I feel like I'm pretty prepared for that one. We'll see how we do.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Take care, everybody. Ho ho ho, as they say.
Will you call me?
Yeah. 3, 2, 1, ghost.
Thanks for listening to our episode on Black Christmas. If you enjoyed this episode, you could subscribe to our podcast and leave us a killer review on whichever platform you choose to listen. That would be a lovely Christmas gift. You can find us on Instagram at 321GhostPod and give us a follow. We would love to hear your thoughts on the film. Follow us on Letterboxd at 321GhostPod to see our boo scores on all of the movies we've covered so far. Next week, we're wrapping up this year with our 2025 horror review. Thanks again for listening, and season's creepings to you all. 3, 2, 1, ghost.